Thank you again for being here, and I failed to mention at the beginning, maybe because I was afraid you'd leave, but we don't have a guest speaker today. I was afraid, like that one fella, he said, this one preacher preached one time, and he was preaching at a Bible conference, and he said, it was in the morning, and he said, well, if you had to choose one session, I'd rather you come to tonight's session, which was odd because it was the morning when he was saying that. He said, if you could only hear one session of this whole Bible conference, I'd love it for me tonight. So one guy stood up in the back, and the speaker said, hey, where are you going? He said, well, I'll be back tonight. I only got one, so I'm coming back. But Dr. David Gibbs is a beloved friend and a wonderful speaker, but he had taken a fall here recently, broke a bone in his foot or his ankle. I didn't get the full description of what was going on, but his doctor said he wasn't authorized, he didn't okay him to travel or to be standing for this long, and so we're going to get him back sometime, and if you've heard him, you know he's a delightful person to be around, and so we're very disappointed in that, but we trust the Lord's timing and goodness, and his sovereignty is true wherever, so we just trust that that was the way it was supposed to be. So if you've come for that, thank you for being here, and we still will try to communicate that when he does reschedule, and we'd love to have him here at any time we can, but if you came just for that, I do apologize, all jokes aside, but we'll have a good time in the Lord anyways, but thank you for being here, and we will pray for him that he gets healed up and that the doctors have a good path forward for his injuries that he had taken from that fall. Well, I want to preach to you for a little while this morning, and I want to give this disclaimer. I never, obviously no pastor would authorize sin to say, oh, just good, go get do wrong so that you can get right. You know, that's never a plan that a pastor has. But on the other side of it, we all know our frailties, and we need a God, which we have, that recycles things that we do wrong. If you don't think that's true, watch your life this week. Because in big things or small things, you're going to mess up. You're going to do what you shouldn't have done. You're not going to do what you should have done. And yet God's mercies are new every day. He still continues to use you. And so I'll preach on that, but I don't want you to start thinking, well, boy, he's thinking that you can just do wrong and God's okay with it. God's never okay with it. But thank the Lord, he is a long-suffering Heavenly Father. Amen. And we'll preach on that. I want to preach a little bit about failures by men, but miracles of God. And so we'll look into it, a great message, I believe. I think the Lord has for us this hour. So if you turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15, we're going to read the first six verses of that chapter. Verse easy to find, first book in the Bible. While you find your place there in Genesis 15, I did want to tell you about this fellow that I heard of. At this fair, this strong man, he had biceps just bulging out there. He was just a real, real strong man. He is a fit as could be. And so had this booth that he would take this lemon and he would squeeze all the juice out of this big, massive hands. He would just squeeze that juice till it was literally just dried. And so he said that he offered somebody $50 of the whole crowd if they could come up and take that lemon and get one drop of lemon juice out of it. Nobody took the offer because, I mean, his arms were the size of most people's legs, and he was just, you could see that he was just straining and squeeze all that he could. It was about flat. This one little short, bald-headed guy came up and said, I'll give it a try. And so he got up there and took that lemon that the big, strong man had just squeezed and squeezed and squeezed, and he said that nobody said, oh, he can't do that. He's a wimp, a weakling of a guy. But he took that, and he squeezed that, and sure enough, he didn't get one drop. He got a whole teaspoon of juice out of that lemon. That strong guy said, I have never seen that in all my life. How in the world did you squeeze that much juice out of nothing? He said, well, I don't know. I'm the treasurer of the Baptist church. I've got practice. So, squeeze it where you can find it, right, Bert? So, I want to look here at Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I'm thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels, or thine own body, shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. I'm going to start there. Now, almost everybody in this crowd knows, but I just catch everyone up. This is the famed hero of faith, made it in Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham. If you were in children's church when you grew up, Father Abraham, the song that the workers hated and the kids loved, and Father Abraham. Abraham was this great hero of the faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the line that he started there, and God promised Abraham a child. Now, before this instance, Abraham and Sarah, his wife, had concocted a carnal plan and figured since God wasn't providing for them the way that they thought that he should, they would take matters into their own hands, and they had another plan. But we see that Abraham is promised by God. No, look up at the stars that night, Abraham, and look at those. And he said, so shall thy seed or thy children be. It'll just replenish. It'll just put it out on the earth. Abraham, as you know, he doubts God and deceives, and Sarah doesn't do much better. And I want to preach about that for a little while. The failures of men, but the miracles of God. There's no name given in Scripture we know more than Abraham. But sometimes I'm afraid that we get the wrong idea of our Bible characters. Well, they're just so high and mighty above all of us that, man, I could never become like one of those. What did you notice the highlights that God makes on Abraham's life and the things that he commends him for is his faith, not his great ability. Let me pray and we'll get started and trust that the Lord will speak to your heart this morning. Thank you for being here. And may as I pray, you pray, say, Lord, I'm here. Would you do something that, how many of you realize or understand that God knows what this week is going to produce in your life? I don't. You don't. He does. And so it very well could be that there's something in His Word that is going to equip you today to let you face what you don't even know is coming. Father, bless us now is our prayer. And I pray, dear Lord, that no one would get the impression that the Bible would be soft on wrong and disobedience. No, of course not. But thank you, Lord. I already know where I'm going to speak from. Thank you, Lord, for the times in my life when I messed up, but you came through. Oh, Lord, thank you. Help us to see that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember this, God only has imperfect humans to work with. Someone put it like this, a preacher was preaching to a group of people, and he said, we need some of you for some task, and we need people to do this and that, and do in this mission work and that. And he said it like this, although I probably wouldn't except in this recount of the story. He said, God's hard up. He's only got people like us. And it is true that he only has imperfect humans to work with. Now, I don't say that again. I won't make the disclaimer again and again today. But I don't say that to mean that you and I just go live however you want and then let God bless this mess. About like going to McDonald's or somewhere and getting the worst food and the most fattening, the most calories, the most saturated fats, the most whatever, poly and mono and all the rest of the fats and all that, and say, Lord, please bless it. Do what you can. So I'm not saying we live in a way that's wrong and then say, well, God's just going to have to bless this mess. Well, we don't say that, but he does. And remember, he only has imperfect humans to work with. But we see Abraham, who's not always doing right, but God takes him and makes him that great hero that you and I love to read about. I read, and you've read too, we know the person. Born in 1907 in Brazil, Indiana, a young man, as he grew to be a young man, he started off growing and producing and making popcorn, made about $150 a month while he was in high school. And he was in that area, and he was trying to manipulate and do some different things. He went to Purdue and graduated with a degree in agriculture, and he became the person who still, their company still sells more popcorn, Orville Redenbacher, than any other company. He graduated from Purdue in 1928, and he worked for years and years and years to try to develop this hybrid form of popcorn that would outproduce and outsell, ultimately, the competition. He was 67 years old before his popcorn and the marketing campaign truly took him to his fame. But Orville Redenbacher said this, his right name, real name, and it was the one that was in the commercials back years ago. He said this, never say die, never be satisfied, be stubborn, be persistent, and integrity is a must. So somebody who said, why do you waste all your time? People that said to him, why do you waste your time on all that silly popcorn? Somebody's going to make it. And he said, I know. If somebody's going to make it, I'm going to be the one that makes it. And after failure, after failure, after failure, after failure, he developed something that became world famous. Now, that's a secular item. That really doesn't help us much in our faith. But imagine if we had the tenacity in our attempt to serve the Lord in our family, in our jobs, and in our homes. Just imagine if we had the tenacity of somebody like that, but we put it to work in a spiritual sense, and we said, when I fail, I'm going to get back up. When I have major setbacks, I'm going to get back up. Sometimes it seems to be we take the message in the secular and we say, well, that's a wonderful trait that somebody just keeps on and on and on and on. Well, why don't we apply it to ourselves in the spiritual? When you have a bad day and you do what's wrong or you don't do what is right, either way, you mess up. Where is that tenacity spiritually to say, I'm going to get up and I'm going to get back into that book? I'm going to get back up and I'm going to get back into the Bible study. I'm going to get back up and I'm going to go apologize to somebody who I lost my cool with, and I'm going to get back on that horse, so to speak, spiritually speaking. I'm saying this morning that if we could apply those tactics that we use in business, that we use in developing new products and things, if we could use that spiritually, how much better off would we be to say that we're going to stand up? Let me give you this. Look here in Genesis. We know the story so well, so I won't go right through that passage, but I want to hit a few highlights. I want you to see in Genesis 18:12 the disbelief of Sarah. We won't stay long because you all know it as well as I do. You're going to find when you get to verse 12 of chapter 18, therefore Sarah laughed. The Bible says that therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Now Sarah was faced again with this struggle of disbelief. Remember, she'd already had the plan of Hagar, and that was a moral and horrible failure. But we find the mother of the future Isaac, the promised son, and she can't bring herself to believe that God's going to do it. Does that sound like the mother of that promised one that we all revere? Not so much, but it's true. My dad says it like this, that God doesn't whitewash his heroes in the Bible. Meaning that he puts the good and the bad. That's one proof of the scriptures being true. Because if somebody was just putting forth a story and they wanted their heroes to be these great characters of reverence, then they wouldn't put the bad stuff in there. But you know that almost every one of them, it's listed the fault or the failures that they have. But I see the disbelief of Sarah. Now, before we get too down on her, remember she's 90, so most of you wouldn't have had the faith to say, well, all right, let's get the nursery painted. So we can't be too hard on her, but she did have the disbelief. And this morning, I believe that we all need to realize our failures and our flops, though, just like she had, doesn't mean that God won't use us. I grieve over the choices that people make because I realize that you can't outrun your bad choices sometimes. They follow you. Bad choices that you make, sometimes they're a lifelong sentence to be putting up with that. I get it. But I'm not here to deliver that message today. What I'm here to deliver the message of is this, and that message is that God takes things that we mess up and He recycles them. Can he violate His promises of His Word? No, He won't ever do that, but He's still ready to use each and every one of you. Say, Brother John, I think I've gone too far. I've messed up too much. I've made a mess of everything. My friend, if you're still breathing, then you're a candidate to be used of God in some form or fashion. Nobody has gotten to the place where God can't use them. So I want to deliver the message to you today. Yes, we have plenty of failures, and Sarah had the disbelief, but we also have the promises of God in our failures that God can make something of our mistakes, and you ought not to discount what God wants to do in our feeble lives. Ruth Wakefield, she was baking cookies. She'd had a little roadside inn, and it was common for her to take the cookies, and she would make them for the guests as they would appear, just like you would think a little picturesque Hallmark movies type roadside inn. And she would make those cookies for when the guests would arrive, sometimes in the morning. And she was going to make chocolate cookies, but she didn't have baking chocolate. And so she had the bright idea. She had some semi-sweet Nestle large chocolate, so she chunked it up. She busted it up and put chips of that chocolate in her cookies, thinking that the chocolate would melt. But she discovered that baking day, the thing that almost everybody in this room has loved to dip into milk. She was the first one, as far as they know, that made chocolate chip cookies. And so now if every mistake could be like that, we'd really be have something, I tell you. And I'm just giving you some of these stories to illustrate what happens in the physical. Why couldn't it happen in the spiritual? When you mess up and you have a blunder and I mess up and I get something all cattywampus, as they call it, and I come to God and get it right, am I not now a candidate to let God do something in my life just because I messed up? Sure I am. And sure you are. Now again, there's people that, I haven't looked back at it, but there's people that have preached in the churches that I've been at that they cannot pastor anymore because of some bad choices they've made. There's consequences. I get it. Please don't, you don't have to tell me afterwards and say, well, you know, there's some things that a person can do that sticks with them forever. I get it. But even that person is still a candidate to do something for the Lord. My pastor said multiple times, said, if I got to a place where I couldn't pass this church, I'd see if they'd let me be on the grounds crew, and I'd go out and manicure this lawn, and I'd see if they let me help everything look spick and span. I'd do something. I'm just saying that we see Sarah's disbelief. And not only do we see that, look over at another chapter or two, chapter 20, verse number 2. So I'm not painting a good picture of our heroes here. We see the disbelief of Sarah, and then we see the deception of Abraham in verse 2 of chapter 20. Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she's my sister. And Abimelech, the king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. So here's our great hero of faith. Here's our great man that's going to be the father of many nations. See those stars? Your seed, your descendants are going to be like as plentiful as those stars are. And so here's this great man that's trusting God, because we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we understand this hero of faith is going to come up with this wonderful plan when they're going through this enemy land with people who don't respect God, don't respect His word, and don't respect His people. And so Abraham comes up with the idea, well, we'll say she's my wife instead of my sister instead of my wife, lest somebody would kill her or kill me and then have their way with her anyways. Where does a plan like that come from? We see the deception of Abraham. The great father of grandfather of faith has a weak moment. And we see not only the deception of Abraham, we see a deviation of the plan of God, because you remember, of course, I already mentioned that Hagar was already done here. But when you get down to the bottom, and thank God for His mercy and His grace, eventually Abraham gets right and he tells the truth, all because of God's intervention. But here's what I'm thinking. When you're down to the bottom of deception or the disbelief, whichever it is, you've got yourself in a mess. When you're down to the bottom, I see you've got two options. Stay there or get up.
Amen.
And I've met a lot of people that have stayed there. You have too. They so embarrassed themselves, and they so disappointed some family, they just couldn't bring themselves to get back up. But my message to you this morning is, get up. The Bible says the just man falleth 7 times, yet riseth up again. And I don't know what you've done, and I don't need to know. But I'm telling you that you've come to the Lord with an honest heart. Say, Lord, forgive me and help me go on from here. You may have to make some apologies to family. You may have to make amends of some things you've done wrong and all of those things. Every situation is different and specific. But my point being, you can go to God and say, God, got to help me with this. Now, please do. And we see the deception that Abraham puts forth is not right, but God gets him right. And when he gets him right, then he goes on and uses him in a great way. Now, if you were alive in 1985, and if you were old enough in 1985 to know what was going on, I was 12. There's a person until I was studying for a sermon, I didn't know his name, but his name was Sergio Zimon. He was somebody who worked for the Coca-Cola company, and he'd had great success bringing, I think it was Tab was the first, their first sugar-free Coke or sugar-free drink. And they went from that to something else, and then eventually got to Diet Coke. And Zimon was the mastermind behind Diet Coke. And so he had seen their sales for the 20 years before that had just continued to be going down. And so he was the one put in charge of coming up with something to counteract those falling sales, and he came up with something called New Coke. In 1985, you remember that? A horrible disaster. Cost the Coca-Cola company, they estimate, $100 million. It lasted 79 days. So they have falling sales, and so his solution was take a 100-year-old formula and completely change it and make it more like Pepsi. So, of course, after that 79 days, they came back with a rallying cry, and sometimes I still see it on the cans, and that is Coca-Cola Classic. We're going back. And they came back with more sales than what they had before the new Coke disaster. That's not the point of my story. It totally failed, and the return was made the company stronger. But here's what I want to bring out. In 1993, 8 years later, the chairman rehired Zimon, the guy that created the mess up. And he said this when he got kickback from rehiring the guy that caused all this trouble. Because the company was stronger than it had been when he started, he said this: we get paid to produce results. We don't get paid to be right. Now again, you say, why would you bring a worldly illustration? My point again is this. The business world knows how to overcome a mistake. You just get back to what really got you at a success to begin with. But sometimes it seems like us Christians, we can't figure it out. We have a failure. We mess up. We trip over our own stupidity. And sometimes we just lay down there. Well, what got us anywhere to begin with? The grace of God. Amen. Salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ. Not thinking too high of ourselves. Turning from everything else and turning only to Jesus Christ. That's what got us to be where we were at to begin with. When did we fall? When pride stepped in. When our own ego got in the way. And so if a business knows to go back to the Coke Classic, why wouldn't I know to go back to spiritual living 101? Which spiritual living 101 is always look to Jesus Christ. Amen. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I'm saying this morning that even though the deception of Abraham and the disbelief of Sarah, we saw and we see the deliverance of God's promise. Look in verse 2 of chapter 21, one chapter over. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whose Sarah born to Isaac, Isaac. Of course, just as a little side note, you know the word Isaac. His name means laughter. Just always remind. Can you imagine Sarah watching this little one grow up every time said his name? Well, that means reminds me of when I laughed about what God was going to do. I'm taking you to this verse, and you don't have to turn there, but in Ephesians it says this: but God, who is rich in mercy. So I just laid out to you a family that should have never had the blessings of God bestowed upon them in the way they did. But God, who is rich in mercy. Now again, before we get too hard on Sarah or Abraham for the deceiving, for the disbelief and all the other things, before we get too hard on them, how about you? Have you always been on your best day, your best week, your best year? many people in this room, you spent some months out of church when you just couldn't get over something. Did God leave you alone? Or did he keep on coming, keep on reminding, keep on working? I see the deliverance of God and the delivery of his promise. So in the chronicles of our history of faith, no better characters than Abraham and Sarah, but even they had their moments. The difference between them and others is they got back to a spot where they were trusting God. And that's what I'm inviting all of us to do. Let's all go back to a spot where we were just trusting God, living for Him, simply trusting what we couldn't see, and realizing our failures are plenty, but God's power is mightyful. Realizing that even though we mess up, and God would be right in saying, you messed up too many times, but His mercies are new every day as we come to Him. Maybe you're here in this auditorium or watching online, and you're thinking, you know, I'd like to come to a God like that, but I've messed up too much. I've sinned and I've sinned and I've sinned, and I always wanted to get saved when I was a kid, when I was older, when I was even older, but now I've lived so many mistakes and I'm sitting on so many different bad choices that there's no way that God would save me. My friend, just like I talked to every Christian in here and told him that you're not so far down that God can't use you as a child of God, but you, my friend, if you're not sure you're saved, you're not sure that you're a child of God, you haven't gone too far. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, I tell you the verse, but God, who's rich in mercy to you that need to come to Christ, He's there. You say, but I made so many mistakes. God didn't come. God didn't send His Son, Jesus Christ, to save the people who didn't make mistakes. Because there weren't any of those. He sent His only begotten Son to this world to die on the cross for sinners like us. Isn't it funny? Sometimes we get the idea that as soon as I get my life straightened up, soon as I get all these things in order, then I'm going to ask God to help me. Then I'm going to start coming to church. Then I'm going to do this. Then I'm going to do that. Isn't it funny that we want to try to do things ourselves when really the Bible is very, very clear that in ourselves, in our flesh, there dwells no good thing? We don't have it in us to fix it up. That's when you just need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm needy. Would you work in me? And if you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, what you need to do is come and give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, realizing that without Him, heaven could never be your home because your sins are too many. And you don't have the wherewithal to get it fixed up without Him. And if you're not saved this morning, oh, I beg you to count this hour as an appointment with God. And you came for the reason that God wanted to show you your need to be saved. And to you, my Christian brother or my Christian sister, who've been thinking that you've gone too far, I knew I shouldn't have done that. I knew I was messing up, or I didn't know. I fell into sin. I jumped into sin. I got tripped into sin. However you got into sin. But I'm too far down for God to use me. An official old word, hogwash. You think you've gotten yourself to a place where God hadn't gotten somebody else out of? Our God's able. So again, I leave you with the note that I already told you at the beginning. I'm not saying that, wow, just go do whatever you want and live however you want, and then God will make something out of it. But if you went to anybody in this room that's made mistakes, as all of us have, every one of us would tell a young Christian, don't go the road I did. Thankful for God getting me out of it, getting me off of it, making something out of me, but don't go that way. But today I deliver you that message. The failures by men, but the miracles by God. So that at the end of it, nobody would be able to say, well, look at what we've done. Instead, they have to say, Look at what He's done. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I pray for a brother or sister in Christ that's completely down right now. I believe there's somebody in front of me. But Lord, they think that they've messed up so much, there's no hope for them. But Lord, if they just realize that they could come to Thee, and Lord, Your word will never be untrue, so there will be consequences. Yes, there are. But Lord, if they would only understand that they just need to come to You and let You work through them. And then, Lord, I pray if there's somebody that's not saved, maybe thinking they've done too much, they've gone too far, they've committed something that You can't forgive, Lord, would You settle on them this truth that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoso cometh unto Him, He will no wise cast him out. Lord, help us, I pray. May every individual in this room do business with You, I pray, before they leave, in Jesus' name. Would you stand together if you're able to as the ladies play something through? If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Brother Daniel's right here in front of the pulpit. Maybe you need somebody to pray with. You're a Christian, but you're down and you've got so much weight on you and you'd like to have a Christian brother or a Christian sister just go to the Lord with you once you come. Maybe you're here today and you're not sure that you're saved, not sure that you're on your way to heaven. And maybe you were the ones I was talking about. You thought you've done too much water under the bridge, too much sin, too much destruction. My friend, Jesus loves you and wants to save you. Don't buy the devil's lie that you've done more than is allowed. Come to Jesus while there's hope. Come to Jesus while you still have a chance, the opportunity. Today is the day of salvation. As they just continue to play, this is your verse. Come if you want. The altar is open. You can pray with others. Or you make an altar out of your seat right there. Maybe there's some other spiritual need on your heart. You need to be baptized. You'd like to present yourself for membership at Buffalo Ridge. Whatever the case might be, as they play, would you do business with the Lord? Well, thank you so much. You may look this way. I hope you've been blessed to be in church this morning. It's a joy to see each of you. If you're a guest with us, again, if you don't mind, to fill out that guest card on the side of your bulletin and take it by guest services. There'll be somebody back there waiting just for a gift, with a gift for you for being our guest. But also, if you've never filled one out, and maybe we don't have your address, you'd like a visit from one of the pastoral staff, then just use that as a communication card. You can either drop it in the offering plate or take the guest services, either one, and maybe you'd like to communicate with us about something or whatnot. You're always welcome to use those as a prayer request sheet as well. You can just put it on there and drop it off, and that will certainly get to our office. We have staff devotions every day, and if you'd like for us to pray, we certainly will. Well, it's a joy to see each of you, and thank you so much for being here in church. I just want to get a good look, because you never know when one of these days will be the last day. And I'm not looking at you to see what's wrong. I'm just looking at you so I remember. Now, I was looking back there, Damon Barnett. Is Damon back there? Did he leave already? Left to go usher. There he is. Pray for him. He looks like a recently impoverished man because his daughter got married yesterday. Are you holding the offering plate? None of that's for you, Damon. Okay? All of it's for God, but none of it's for you. Sorry. And so Hannah and Preston got married yesterday. And next week, there's a wedding. Elizabeth Farmer's getting married to Nick Sandridge. And so there we've got folks getting married. And Kendra Johnson over here is getting married in about a month. And so a lot of exciting things, a lot of money being spent. How can it not be a good time, right? I understand what you're saying. It's a joy to be here. Thank you for being in church. And Brother Shannon, would you mind coming up praying for us and give me a chance to get back to the lobby? And Amy and I will meet you back there if you'd like. We'll greet you as you go. If there's something we can be a blessing to you, you please don't hesitate to stop by.
All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time we've had in your house. Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, that you use us just the way we are. And Lord, I pray that we leave here wanting to be more like Christ as we live and ready to be used of thee. Lord, thank you for how you've ministered to us this day. Lord, lead us home safely. Bring us back to your house tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.